It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. The Chiefs, they let down Patrick Mahomes again. They lose on Sunday Night Football 20-10 to the Texans. And at this point now, unless the Chiefs win out and get a ton of help, they are done. They will not make the playoffs this year.
They need the Colts to drop two more, which is certainly possible.
Very possible.
Very, very possible, because that was everybody's team.
Daniel Jones is done for the year. He tore his Achilles yesterday.
Yeah, I wasn't a Colts fan even before Daniel Jones went down. Neither. I thought they were
fool's gold, and yeah, that's
Johnny
exactly
come lately.
What they are.
The Chargers, by the way, have they still got the Eagles tonight. They've got the Chiefs. They've got the Broncos on the road still. I mean, they have Houston still. They still have some tough games, but do I think the Chiefs can put a stretch together is, I think, fool's gold at times.
Yeah, I think at this point now, you as a Chiefs fan, you should prepare yourself for this team to be picking somewhere in the middle of the first round of the draft.
They're picking
next
14
year
right now if the season ended
there. Yeah, so that makes what we talk about here a lot more relevant.
That's because they beat the damn Ravens. The Ravens are 13th.
That's like I said, it's more relevant now than what we were expecting even a month ago. You know, even a week ago, we weren't expecting to be in this position, but we knew it was reality. And it is a tough spot for the Chiefs, but the bright side is that if the Chiefs do finish, you know, right around 500, so a little bit above 500, a little bit below, better draft pick, and now you have more options on the table on how to improve your team in the future. So when the Chiefs are officially eliminated, I think we should do an autopsy of the season, where it went wrong, and how they can fix it for next year in the draft. But Man, it like I said, as I said when we got on, the Chiefs, they've let down Mahomes again. Mahomes, I mean, statistically had one of the worst games of his career. But if you know, watching the game, I mean, Mahomes was doing everything he could to keep that team up.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of that, and people put down completion rate numbers and things like that. And it just goes down to you watching the game or not.
Yeah, or do you know what you're watching versus looking at the stats?
If he's got six drops, clarified drops, that goes on your completion percentage.
Which there were more than six. They just accounted
documented six.
Documented six. It was probably like seven or eight drops.
And they're second in the NFL. They're tied for second in the NFL in drops. Yeah. I mean, that's it goes on the quarterback's record. But when you're playing with three backup linemen going into the game, end up playing with four backup linemen,
right,
including the first ever experience, your left tackle, which let's face it, left tackle is one of the toughest positions in sports, and there's Asa Pole out there for his NFL action against Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
Come on, man. But he played well against Danielle. I give him credit. You know, Asa might be something. I get that, and he needs to be something. Hopefully that's good depth for the Chiefs going forward. But, you know, when you're sitting there and all of a sudden you're in a playoff hunt, you're playing one of the most formidable defensive lines you've played all year, and you got a guy making his first NFL start at the quarterback side, man.
It was his first game. He didn't start the game. Wanya Moore started the game.
He didn't start. But
Wanya Moore got hurt on the first play.
One play. So essentially he was a starter in the game.
He got hurt on the first damn play.
Which
of
makes
the game.
It worse is he didn't go in being the starter, meaning he didn't take all the reps with first team during practice, and all of a sudden he's not expecting to play, and boom, hey, grab your helmet, you're going in. So it was
Wanya goes down first.
That's even worse not being able to prepare for it. But it's kind of good, though. You're not sitting there thinking about Danielle Hunter all night.
Yeah, like I said, Wanya got hurt in the first play of the game. Asa Pole comes in there, plays left, which I'm pretty sure you thought too. Okay, Jalen moves from right tackle because he started for Juwan Taylor over to the left side where he had started, I think, what was it, four games in place of Josh Simmons. So Jalen Moore to the left side. Asa Pole to the right side because that was the position that he played in college when he was at Washington State.
And he didn't play in high school either.
Yeah, no. He started playing in college.
And maybe that's maybe it's good, Chris, for guys not to worry about a player the night before. Like, almost, you don't think.
I'm sure that he prepared like he was going to play.
Well, Jalen Moore wasn't expecting it when he got that start because he was delivering a baby with his wife.
Right. My point, though, is that like if you're a pro, you should prepare like you're going to
start. You should always prepare.
But like, my thing is like, it was weird that they decided to have Pole play on the left side when he was a tackle.
Reed calls it, man. I agree with you on that.
And that was weird.
That's what I would have done.
That's what I would have done. That's what everyone would have done.
But Reed was talking about matchups. And he said, don't think that that's the way it's always going to be. And obviously, they liked the Danielle
matchup. I mean, Danielle Hunter's really good,
but
too.
But they wanted Will Anderson.
Hunter's really good, too.
And they did. But so's Will Anderson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Will Anderson's awesome. He's the best pass rusher.
But they wanted Jalen Moore.
But Danielle Hunter's really damn good, too. He's one of more underrated pass rushers in the league. So, like, that was
a tough situation.
That was real tough. He comes in, and aside from one pressure, which was – it was one of those pressures where, like, it was Mahomes holding on to the ball for a little while. It was, like, over 4 seconds. Then he gave up the pressure. I'll say this right now. The fact that we were not talking about Asa Pole after he came in there and got playing time over there at left tackle is excellent news.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I think for next year, because I think the assumption is, I don't know how many people believe that Juwan Taylor's still going to be on this team in 26. That means that Asa Pole and Jalen Moore are going to be your right tackles next year, presumably. And if that's the case, that's a really awesome situation to have because now you can have a competition for Asa Pole and Jalen Moore on the right side.
They're way over the cap, so they need a Pole starting
what I'm saying.
For money.
And if you can do that and if Pole is able to win that job, well, now you found both of your starting tackles for years to come, which is a great situation to have.
So Mahomes in a situation where he didn't have trust in his line, because who would trust that line? You're just being a human, being a quarterback.
I agree, yeah.
Mahomes watched Josh Allen run for his life when he played the Texans a few weeks ago with 8 sacks. And you got a bunch of receivers that can't beat man coverage. And everybody knows that. Because Worthy, Rice, and Brown struggling against man coverage. So you got that problem to go along with not trusting your line. That is not a good mixture.
Right. And I think that it's nice that Pole did played well enough, because then if he can string, if somehow you end up having him start multiple games at, you know, either side, and he's able to build up that trust there. Like, you're talking about a situation where you've got two tackles, because he trusts Josh Simmons more than he trusts Jalen Moore.
In a way, I think it was good, because it's good to see these guys in live action, and it's no better test than against the Texans than Neil Hunter. And you actually get to see him in a live game. This isn't practice. This isn't snaps up in St. Joe. This is real game action against the Houston Texans. So, to be honest with you, in a way, that was very helpful for him. Not helpful with Wanye Morris getting hurt. I hate seeing that. But it's good for his development.
Yeah, I felt bad for Wanye with how he went down.
He was going to get his chance.
Yeah, it was going to be his opportunity to redeem himself after last year. You know, all the best to him. Hopefully he recovers and is able to come back and provide something for the
team.
Looks
like a year thing, according to Schefter.
Yeah, Schefter just tweeted out before we came on here, end of the year, which I think we expected just based on his reaction. Yeah. They carted him straight to the locker room, and, you know, they said, yeah, he's done for the day.
And Mahomes' reaction.
Mahomes, he went down on the knee, too.
He pretty much knew how bad it was.
Oh, yeah, Mahomes right there. Mahomes' reaction, you could tell that was it for him. So,
yeah.
Best wishes to Wanye Morris and his recovery, and hopefully he can come back stronger for 26. But I think there's other issues that we saw. One, Travis Kelce was terrible yesterday, but – you know, at the beginning of the year, I talked about how I wasn't quiet on them going and drafting a tight end. And slowly but surely, I've kind of come over to it, because I do think this tight end class is better than I thought. And I think both of us thought going into the year. Kenyon Sadiq has had a nice year. Eli Stowers has looked good.
He mocked the Chiefs a ton. People are doing
Kenyon Sadiq. Because it's the easy one, because Kelce.
The other thing, too, Chris, is what do you think of depth? I don't know. I mean, I've heard people talk about Noah, and I've laughed. I've really laughed when people pick it up.
This is where I'm going with this.
They need a T2.
This is no. They don't.
Oh, yeah, they
don't need a tight end 2.
100%. They do.
They need a tight end 1.
They need 1 and 2.
No. They need a 1, because here's the problem. Noah Gray is not a tight end 1.
No, he's not a tight end 2 either.
They need, and here's the thing, tight end 2 is not like a big problem for most teams.
In this offense, whoever, is a 25 to 30 catch guy.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is that you don't want your tight end 2 to be a 25 to 30 catch guy.
Well, he can be, because he proved he can be that guy, but this year he's not proven that.
The last 2 years, really, I kind of feel like he's taken a big step back.
Drop passes galore, man.
I think now the Chiefs need to be in the market for sure for a tight end to actually play the tight end position.
I would rather have seen Robert Tonyan in there yesterday.
Yeah.
In a crucial game like that.
My thing is this. I don't necessarily, because again, I still believe this, they don't need to replace the Travis Kelce role. They do not have a tight end on their roster right now that I trust at all.
Like, they trusted Wiley for that fourth down play against Dallas.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's all he's gotten. And I think now at this point, we can see Noah Gray is not someone who should be on the team next year. He does not look good at all.
That was just brutal, man.
That first third down play of the opening drive, he drops that ball on that slant route going across the middle. And, I mean, he had two drops in the game.
Because tight end twos are not going to be covered as much. It's imperative for them to catch it.
But the thing is, he doesn't, even though he is their tight end 2, he does not play like their tight end 2. He plays like their tight end 1, because they line up Kelce in the slot so much. He's basically a slot receiver. So, and that's the reason why I say that, they have a tight end 1 problem.
He had 40 catches last year for 437. That's productive for tight end.
That's what I meant.
But 28 the 2 years previous. He had 7 his rookie year, then 28, 28, 40, and he's only got 17 this year for 146. So, we've seen a drastic, drastic decline. But 40 catches last year, you'll take that from a backup tight end.
My thing is, though, is that he's not really – the way they use him is not like their backup tight end. He's like their tight end 1.
Yeah.
And my problem is that he's not good enough to be a tight end 1. I think that's apparent right now. He's not – if he's an actual tight end 2 and he's lining up on the left side of the offense – and when they run, if they run 12 personnel, or if he's lined up as an H-back in 12 personnel, I'm fine with that.
Which tight end 2's got to be able to catch the football, because they're going to draw weak coverage.
But my problem is that that's the thing, though. You keep bringing up tight end 2. They use him like a tight end 1.
I know.
The way they use him.
And I don't want to see him as a 1 or a 2 is what I'm saying.
No. And my thing is this, I just don't
think we're saying the same thing. I don't want to see either roles.
Right, but my point though is like it doesn't matter if he's a tight end too. I don't have an issue with that.
And I just have
an issue with him as a tight end one because I don't
him last year
I don't think
he's reliable. But he's not. He's this year. It's unreliable, man. And you have a tight end two or one in certain aspects is which he has playing for Kelce. Even though Kelce's snap count's been around 91%, 89%, 90%, it's been pretty high lately last couple games. But you're going to draw weaker coverage, and you've got to make those plays because you're not going to get that many opportunities. And you've got to,
you've got to
get that trust factor because you're drawing single coverage. And oftentimes you're drawing linebacker and or dropping defensive end coverage.
And also, one of the biggest issues I see with him is run block is not great either.
No.
And so it's like you can't block?
No.
You can't catch?
No.
What the hell do you do then?
Yeah. They got to gear it for Chiefs 2.0.
Yeah. No.
Who's going to be on 2.0?
Oh, this is 3.0. About to be 3.0. Mm-hmm. We're in 2.0 right now. Like, they were 2.0 when they got rid of Tyreek Hill
back in 22. We can call it 3.0, whatever.
This is 3.0 right now.
But it is going to be the reboot. The reason I'm calling it 2.0 is only because 1.0 was that whole big stretch run of 9 straight division titles. They're going to have to reload this thing.
Oh, yeah, but I thought they reloaded in 22. That's
well, they
kind of
did, but they kept it going. But
they kept it going, but they reloaded.
But this
just
year is this year is a stop. This year
right, that's my point, though, is like they reloaded and it worked. They were able to keep the momentum going.
Yeah. Well, this year is
now
a complete reload.
The momentum's gone.
Let's go to the draft with only 6 picks.
Yeah, so like I said, I think tight end is now a position they got to hit on for sure because – right now, you're gonna need yourself someone that you can trust to start and get, you know, 50 catches a season.
A playmaker type, man.
Yeah.
Playmaker type.
Like, they need some – because, like, man, like, if Noah Gray's the tight end one next year, I'm worried about that position now because I can't trust him. I wasn't – like, to me, I thought last year he overperformed a little bit. And so, like, that's the reason why, like, I was – like, the contract he got, I was like, it seems like a lot. But, you know, hey, maybe he grows. Maybe they know something we don't know. Benefit of the doubt.
Hey, they were bought into those almost 40 catches and almost 500 yards.
Yeah.
They bought into that.
Not anymore.
He was dependable last year.
Yeah. Now, I don't
know what the hell happened.
I don't try. I think what happened is he overperformed last year. And now we are seeing who Noah Gray really is because before last year, what we're seeing from Noah Gray now is what we saw from him before, except he just didn't get targets because they knew he wasn't a dependable player.
No.
Then he kind of showed a little bit of dependability, and then they started using him more. And this year they're trying to use him not as much as they did last year, and it's because he's shown that he can't.
It may have to be free agency for TE too, which is fine.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I don't care. I don't care about a backup tight end from free agency.
Serviceable tight end.
Yeah,
too.
I don't care about that. That's fine. If that's your solution, cool. Get a vet. Hopefully he can work with the rookie
and
you're good. Yeah. Or I mean, I'm more in line with them going and getting tight end after the first round. I'm not really into first round tight end.
If they're there, I still think it's only going to be Sadiq and Stowers in one. But
yeah, Stowers would be the. I don't think Stowers is going to go first round. But I think if you can get him day
I think
two,
Stowers, Max Clair, Jack Andrews, that kind of where you're looking at for your top ones.
Yeah, yeah. Another position group. I mean, obviously we know running back's a position they need to hit on, but I think now they're at a point where they know what they've got with Pacheco. They know what they've got with Kareem. They don't know what they've got in Breshard Smith. So if we're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be a key player in Chiefs 3.0, well, then you got to see what you have with Breshard Smith, and you got to see what you have in Jalen Royals.
That's what I'm definitely going to be talking about tonight is because – I want to see. And here's the deal. Jalen Royals hadn't gotten on the field yet. Was your fourth-round pick. You know what? These games, we know they're not going to do any damage at this point. Let's see what they got. See what they got. So you're going to the next year with some real game action, football game action, going against the Chargers. And I don't care if it's the Titans and Raiders on the road. Just see what you can do against NFL players because the other guys are NFL talent, NFL players. Let's see what you got. And, you know, it's much different than practice. Going out in a game situation. Getting that under your feet. So that way next year, Jalen Royals is a boom, game one. Here, Here's the NFL, buddy. You know, go enjoy being an NFL player. Get it under and see what you got. We'll see how many wide receivers the Chiefs may need to get, whether free agency, the draft. How good are you, Jalen? I'm with you on that. And Breshard Smith, that'd be my starter at this point, because you got to think Pacheco's hitting free agency. He's going to be gone. Kareem Hunt.
He's not good either. He's just not. He's just not good.
No, he's not. He's not good. And Kareem Hunt, he'll be 31 next year. So,
yeah.
You know, start Breshard Smith. Find out what you got. Start Jalen Rolls. Listen, it can't get any worse, right? Like, it can't get any worse.
Now, I mean, statistically, it can get worse. You can be officially eliminated from the playoffs.
And this offensive line isn't exactly what you want to see him running behind. But it's what you need to get Trey Smith back. You know you're still going to have your left tackle being inexperienced at this point. But start Breshard Smith. I would say start all your rookies. I want to see a lot more Noah Williams, which you're probably going to see with the hyperextension. Is it hyperextended knee with Trey McDuffie? So when you have that, see some Noah Williams. I thought the defense played great yesterday. I thought Noah Williams played great. I thought there was a bogus defensive holding he had on himself there yesterday. I like Noah Williams. Obviously, we're not going to see the first and second round pick in Simmons and Norman Lott for the rest of the year. And who knows if.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 and start learning today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Simmons comes back. He hadn't officially been put on IR yet, has he? So
I thought Simmons was on IR.
Was he? He is.
He's on the 4 week IR.
Four weeks. He can come back.
Yeah.
So he's out, And then Norman Lott's obviously gone for the year. You could possibly see Simmons at the end of the year, but I doubt it.
Me too.
I bet they'll shelve him. So see what your rookies are. See what your plan of action will be going into next season. So let's see what Burchard, give him a full workload. You know, give him 20 carries. You know, let's see what he's got. Let's see what he's made of to see what they have with the running back room next year. And with Royals, yeah, I'm not expecting a number one receiver out of the deal. I just want to see what the kid has. And can he develop? I mean, obviously, Pole played, you know, well. Does this mean Royals could do the same thing? Maybe. Give him a chance. We didn't know about Pole. He got his chance. And you know what? You liked his chance. You'd like to see what he got. Let's see what Jalen Royals has. Again, Hollywood Brown's probably me off with another team as well next year. I can't see him making that move. Obviously, Rashee Rice will be back with his team. Xavier Worthy's back with his team. Find out what you have with Jalen Royals to help you kind of in your draft plan and free agency plan.
Yeah, I got to see what they're going to do with Burchard Smith. He had one carry in yesterday's game, last night's game. 7 yards on a toss to the to the left side, right behind.
And maybe Jalen's good against man.
maybe. But like the thing about it was like watching that play, like that play, like that toss play to Burchard, it was weird because it was like, well, if they were going to do a carry, that's not what I expected them to do. I didn't expect them, and he got 7 yards on. He looked good.
I want to see him. I want to see him lined up in the backfield getting carries, get like
him,
a running back.
Get him some
not specialty.
Get him in space.
Throw it to him is fine. Throw him out of the backfield is fine. Give him the football and let him get some solid carries under his belt.
I want to see what he can do at this point. Like I know what you were getting from Pacheco. You know, Pacheco's going to get 10 to 12 carries, going to average like, I don't know, 3-4 yards
a
carry.
And the thing you ask yourself, Chris, does it matter if a guy's running and you're not making the playoffs? Yeah. Like, he's not going to be on your team next year.
No.
Burchard Smith is.
Yeah. Like, I at this point now, I agree with you. I think Burchard, I don't think he will, but I would start Burchard.
100%.
I would be giving Jalen Royals more time out there. I don't know. Maybe they've seen something in practice and they think he needs to work more in his role. I don't know.
It's a great question.
I don't know. We'll see with Jalen Royals. But I think for sure, like, Burchard, because the problem with Burchard is this. Almost every time he's out there, it's a passing play. He does not run the football very much. Yeah. You're so predictable when he's out there. That's the reason why you were so successful when he got that toss
and
play.
And also when
the defense wasn't expecting him to run the football.
And I know everybody wants to see him under center, which is fine. But just remember, they're only running it under center, which is a problem. They're becoming so predictable when you're under center. You've got to start throwing the football more when you're under center.
Right.
I know everybody wants to see it, but I want to see passes from under center. I don't want to see predictability because when under center, they're going to run the football. Yeah. That's exactly
run
what
that,
they do.
Run that play action. See, that's how – if you do that a couple of times and then you run play action off of it, especially because they love to go boot action, they love to roll Mahomes to the right side, you know, let's run to the left side. Mahomes turns around, bootleg, and then you throw it down the field on the right side. That all of a sudden, that's going to ruin the defense, especially if you complete that pass down the field too. All of a sudden, now you're changing everything in the mind of that defensive coordinator because now it's like, oh, well, not only do we have to defend the short pass, do we have to defend the run from under center? Now we have to make sure that the play action is something we're keeping in mind as well. That's going to throw safeties off, and that means that it's going to be more effective with you running the football there because they're going to have to respect that deep ball. This is the reason why I was saying a year ago, hey, running back is something you got to hit on because if you can get defenses to respect your run game, it's going to open things up down the field. And the Chiefs did not take that very seriously. They thought they could just smartest guy in the room their way to continuing their offensive momentum, and it has not worked this year as far as executing when the team needs those plays to be executed in the most crucial moments.
And I know most fan bases, when they look at the wide receiver room, they think they're fine. I've never been.
I think the receiver room is good. I just don't think the scheme uses their talent very well.
They drop the ball a lot and they're bad against man. So they've got to find man beaters. You've got to get, I mean, I understand this receiving room should be better than what it is, but you're not getting production out of it. You're not getting playmaking ability from the wide receiver room. And the drops are becoming a real problem. Whether it's the scheme that they're in, those are things you can change. I get that. That is something you can change. But I do think they need more playmakers on offense.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the two. I just don't think receiver is necessarily where it needs to be.
It can be tight end as well.
I think running back, and I think your scheme needs to be better.
Playmakers.
If they ran the football at an effective rate with their running backs, I think they would be so much better.
And what's funny is they're top half of the league in running.
Right.
They've never ran the ball for more yards per game than this year. This is the most they've ever ran
their
Mahomes
ever. They're really inefficient.
It's by committee, and Mahomes getting 50 yards.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's really inefficient, and Mahomes is really kind of propping that up.
Hell, they ran the hell out of the ball yesterday. They had a lot more yards than the Texans did. What, 40 more yards rushing?
Right.
And it's obviously a lot
it just
of
wasn't efficient.
It was
incredibly inefficient.
It wasn't efficient.
The only reason why they are running it so they're as effective as they are in terms of total yardage is because they are none of these defenses are respecting their ability to run.
And I know Rice is running a lot of the routes like Travis Kelce does, that over the middle stuff, and Kelsey's been working on him and stuff like that. The other thing is you got to catch the football. And I've been a big Rice fan, a big Rice advocate. But you got to catch the football if you're going to do the dirty work.
That drop was killer.
But I'd like to see Xavier Worthy utilized like he's supposed to be. This is a down. He's got to work on the man coverage. He's got to work on separating from man. I get that. You're going to have 2 years under his belt next year in NFL experience. Okay, it's time to start nine round. It's starting to go vertical. Let's use that 4-2-1 speed getting down the field. That's why you're with the Chiefs.
I would like to see them like do what the Dolphins did and what the Chiefs used to do with Tyreek Hill.
Hell, Tyquan Thornton's role, that could be Worthy.
Put him
and Tyquan's doing a better job of it.
Put Worthy in motion and let him get off of the line in motion.
That seems to help him.
For y'all that don't understand the Miami Dolphins offense with Tyreek Hill, the cheat that they were using, and they would do it was Tyreek or Waddle, Jalen Waddle. They put them in motion, and then before the ball is snapped, before they stop their motion, they snap the ball, and they just basically get a head start because all they have to do is make a 90-degree cut towards the line of scrimmage, and it's really hard to press them at the line of scrimmage because they're already in motion. So if they take a right angle, they're good. And that's the reason why that offense worked for a while until the Chiefs figured out if you just have way bigger corners and press them at the line of scrimmage and you understand what angles they're going to take, you're going to be able to stop it. But you can do that with Worthy. The Chiefs did that all the time with Tyreek Hill. They would put him in all the orbit motions around Mahomes. They would move him all around, and defenses had to account for that, and it worked.
Yeah.
That's why Tyreek was so effective, because they moved him everywhere. They need to use Worthy the exact same way. Move him everywhere. Don't just use him as a short yardage catch and run type of receiver, because that's what they're doing with him.
They respect that speed. They're scared of that speed. I mean, it's some of the speed. Tyquan Thornton, you know what he is about this time. But the Chiefs, and they're going to have to find a way to get more picks, bottom line. And they used one of those picks, those fourth-round picks, to move up to get Noel Williams last year. So that was one of those fourth-rounders that's gone because they moved down in the third round to get Noel Williams. They've got to find a way to get picks, whether that's making trades on players you already have, like a McDuffie, somebody like that. They're going to have to find a way to get more draft picks because this team's got to start, reloading this team.
To me, it's not even the draft pick part. It's just draft the positions that you need. Don't go out here and be like, well, we really like this linebacker in the fifth round, even though we need a running back. We like this linebacker in the fifth round that's only going to play special teams this year. Let's take him in the fifth round.
Like Drew Tranquil cost this team some money, right? We all know that. But Bosa can be that guy. Can Bosa be that guy? Because this way you do the draft. You're going to have Omar Norman Lott next year, which is good. He showed some real promise when he was in there. So that is a good sign. Obviously, with Simmons coming back at left tackle, that helps this offensive line. But, yes, the weird news is they're not getting blown out. We can look at every single one of these games and think of one or two plays gone here or there. That's the frustrating part.
Yeah, well, most teams in the NFL don't get blown
exactly.
out. So and, that's not really much of a caveat.
But I'm just saying, get some playmakers on offense because they've been concentrating on defense, and I know it. We have them going defense in the first round, which honestly I think that might be where they need to go to because they've got to work on that defensive line.
They
look good yesterday, but
they need an edge rusher. Bad.
That's been an asterisk. Yes, they do.
They need another edge rusher. I came to this before the game, actually.
And I don't know if Felix is going to come back with a wild abandon next year. I don't know. I mean,
he's not. If I'm putting my money, he's not.
I like Jelani and what he's showing sometimes.
I like him too. I think I don't think he's an edge rusher though. I think he's more of a Mike Dana. Move him into a three tech on third down and see what he can do there.
About him.
Like I think he's more Mike Dana than he is a true three down edge rusher.
But you're Chris Jones type when he wrecked offensive lines like he was doing last night. You see the value in what that does.
Yeah. Oh, he was so good. But he was so good last night.
And finding another player to replace that's like finding a Kelsey or finding a Mahomes. It is tough to do. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy when Aaron Donald retired. Clearly, that's defensive tackle number one in my opinion in the NFL. I don't think so right now at this year, but he has been. Last year he was. The year before he was, and I think he was really getting there right with Aaron Donald. As far as how good he is, that is a tough position to go grab. But, yeah, with the draft here, they've got to be creative in their draft picks, and they've got to hit on them. They've got to hit on them. There's no, they've got to get back to that 2022, hey, it was draft and you're playing.
Yeah, like I said, I think edge rusher is probably where you need to be looking at round one right now, or if there's a really good defensive tackle. But, like, right now, I came to that epiphany before the game yesterday. I was doing some mocks and I'm like, man, he's not going to be here next year, and Jelani I don't think is an every down guy.
I really thought this was going to be his year to go prove it.
I thought this was going to be a great year for him,
having Chris Jones on that line.
Yeah, it ain't working. And so now you got to look at it and it's like, who is the starting edge rusher opposite Karlaftis next year? We don't know. And if you don't know, maybe you should, because it's a good edge rusher draft at the top end. I think overall, actually, it's a pretty good edge rusher draft. This is probably the year you go get another edge rusher. You kind of rectify the mistake that you have with Felix.
Good news is they're in line to get a pretty damn good player.
Yeah. Where they are right now, like the mocks the mock draft simulator I've been using for like PFF. I mean, I've been able to go and get TJ Parker. The edge rusher from Clemson.
That'd help.
A few of them. I've been able to get Keldrick Falk.
Or Woods.
I don't think he's going to be there. I don't think Peter Woods is going to be there. But if you could go and grab a guy like TJ Parker, I would love that.
The good news is it'd be close enough to get into the top 10. The bad news is I don't think they have the ammunition to get into the top 10.
I don't think they should try to trade. I just don't think you need to trade.
I don't think they have the commodities
to be honest. I mean, I think they could if they wanted to. I just don't think it's a smart move because I don't think that the edge rushers in the top 10 are that much better than the guys you can get.
There's one thing you don't want to do, and that's sacrifice 27 picks.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be freaking loaded.
So I think that they should definitely be looking at staying where they are, and they should absolutely be trying to get pass rush help in round one, because I think that right there, what we've seen the last few weeks, I think that's their biggest need for sure. So there's opportunities for offensive playmakers on day two and day three, but I think that's where you need to go. So let's do our championship weekend recap. Not a whole lot of games to cover here because there was only just a handful of games that were played the entire weekend. Started with the Big Ten championship, the 1-2 matchup here between Ohio State and Indiana. Ohio State, They get upset here by the Hoosiers, 13-10. Not a great game at all in terms of offensive play. It was really bad.
It was a good defensive game, and I'm looking at this. This was a game to be at as a scout, because with Ohio State, some of the talent that they had, and clearly the five draftable offensive weapons, I feel, from Indiana, these were two top three defenses, both these top three defenses in the country. You had a chance. Curry looked great on the defensive line at Ohio State. He's not getting very much buzz as far as the draft this year, but he looked good, didn't he? He looked unblockable.
Oh, yeah. Number like Kenyatta Jackson was good in the game.
Arvell Reese
was awesome in this game. Like I really liked the – like they played awesome. But to me, the most impressive player, not even draftable, was Charlie Becker.
Oh, I know, man.
He was so good.
We got to wait until 27.
He's 28. He's a true freshman.
He's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore? Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, he's a 27 kid. He,
like everybody else.
He's so good. Dude, he is like literally.
Thought Surratt was the best they have. It might be Becker.
I think Becker might be better. Becker looks like a smaller Gronk. Like he's just, You throw it up to him.
He's got that range.
All you have to do, he's going to moss you every time.
He is.
Like, literally, you do not have to be very accurate at all. You just throw it up, and he's going to go up and get it. He's got great vertical leap.
He does.
He's going to be someone that is going to be,
he's like, really emerged.
You know, like how Isaac Tesla has looked for the Lions whenever they throw up those fade routes to him at goal to go situations? That's what Becker looks like every single time they throw him the ball.
And Omar Cooper got hurt early, so you didn't get to see a ton of Omar.
Yeah.
Omar has good hands. He's clutch receiver, in my opinion. E.J. Williams shines once in a while, not all the time. Not as dependable as you want. They don't use him as much. And then Hemby, you know, getting his carries at running back. But that Ohio State team, man, absolutely positively loaded as well. Again, this was an NFL Scouts game, man. This is the game. The Big Ten title game you did not want to miss.
Yeah, like I said, Becker was, to me, he was the best player in the game. He was just incredible. Fernando Mendoza, another game manager type game. Nothing great. 222 yards, a touchdown, and a pick.
I think he solidified in his role as the number one quarterback.
Right, I think so, too. I feel like if you put him in the class 2 years ago, I don't think he's a first-round pick. I think he's probably taken – like, I think he's better than J.J. McCarthy. I don't think he gets taken in the first round, though. Because to me, he just looks like a game manager.
Yeah, it's all time and place and who's in your draft class.
Yeah.
And certainly it looked a lot better than it did going into the season than it is now.
I think he's probably going to be, as high as the middle part of the top 10.
But he's the guy we liked going into the season. Mendoza is the guy we talked about.
But he's someone that I think probably should be drafted in, like, late first round or early second round. But he'll probably go top 10 because there's teams that need quarterbacks. So.
Well, I think he will be top 10.
Carnell Tate, wide receiver for the Buckeyes. He had 45 receiving yards on 4 catches. So
he's just dependable,
not super productive, but
he's dependable.
He did make some big catches. He had a touchdown catch in this game. I think Carnell Tate has locked himself in first round for sure. Kenyatta Jackson, as mentioned, he had a sack in this game. And Davison Igbinison, the corner for the Buckeyes, he had another pick in this game. He's big, he's physical, very good at man coverage. Heads up interception they had in this game. The ball was tipped up on a hit on a screen pass. He went up and got it. Yeah, I think Igbinison has been making himself some money.
It was a good test, too, because I think they have 4 draftable wide receivers. So you're seeing NFL talent out there at Indiana.
And they're big, physical receivers, too. They're not a bunch of small, fast dudes.
So you have, I think, 3 draftable receivers from Indiana. You have a quarterback that's probably going to be the top quarterback going. That is a good test for a defense that Indiana gave Ohio State.
Yeah, and they held them to only 13 points. So I think the defense did a really good job there.
Mm-hmm.
SEC championship game. This was an ass whooping. Georgia won this game 28-7 over Alabama. Another game where I think both quarterbacks played like absolute garbage. I was not impressed at all with either one. Gunnar Stockton, he managed the game all right. 156 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ty Simpson, 212 passing yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Not a good performance
at all.
It's
about
the
defense of Georgia, man.
Yeah, about defense for both of the schools. Though Alabama's defense didn't really quite fare that well in this game.
And it kept up. It's been saying all year, they cannot run the football.
No.
And it's starting to bite them. Jim Miller didn't play in this. They had -3 yards rushing. When's the last time you freaking saw Alabama with -3?
I mean, you don't see that because they almost always have.
It's all
on
Ty Simpson's shoulders, man.
And you know what? If they'd have kept Justice Haynes, they might be in a better position offensively.
Justice Haynes would have been fine.
He would have been awesome in that offense. Zachariah Branch, the Mecole Hardman lookalike, 5 catches, 53 yards, and a touchdown for the Bulldogs.
I think he looked good.
Yeah, I think he definitely did his thing. And then Jeremy Bernard, the receiver for the Tide, 6 catches, 65, and a touchdown. He impressed me a lot, and it's funny. It's like Ryan Williams is more talented than he is, but Jeremy Bernard's been better this year.
He's disappeared like the last couple games.
Yeah.
It's really, really odd.
Jeremy Bernard has been the best receiver for the Tide this year.
I would not be shocked if he ends up in another school.
That wouldn't shock me either, especially because their offense seems to have taken a step back. No, hell no.
There's a connection there. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no. I mean, he might end up at USC if he does – decide to enter the portal. He might end up at USC because that seems to be where all the Ohio State play. That or Oregon. He might end up.
Everybody's
at Oregon
saying Lane's going to take him, so I don't know.
I doubt that, but
I don't know anything Lane does.
Yeah, I mean, I have my doubts about that, but yeah, I mean, overall, great performance from Georgia in this game. Their defense just absolutely mobbed the Tide's offense. The Tide could not run the football at all. They haven't been great at running the football all this year.
Georgia's gotten better. Like, they've steadily gotten better. Beforehand, they were kind of like, I like them to the Chiefs. Just they'd hang around.
They'd get by. They would get by in a lot of
games. But they're pounding the hell out of you now.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They're running the football better. Nate Frazier's done a really good job the last few weeks at running the football
stars
for them.
They just spread it around, man. Yeah. That's truly an EGE.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, their defense is just chock full of NFL talent there at all three levels of the defense. They've got so much talent.
Got our guy.
So, yeah, Kristen Miller. This Georgia team is going to be a tough one to play in the college football playoff.
Yeah,
so.
You don't want this team.
Big 12 championship, BYU and Texas Tech. I didn't put the score in here, but it was an ass whooping in favor of Texas Tech. Texas Tech, I mean, just absolutely blew the doors off of them, especially in the second half. It was competitive to a certain extent in the first half, and then second half it wasn't at all.
And BYU
was a 34-7, I think it was.
BYU's a good team, man, very good team. And Texas Tech's defense is people are finally starting to realize, damn. For years they just didn't have it, man.
Tech might have the best defense in the playoffs.
They're like number three points against in the country.
And their pass rush is the best, I think, in the entire.
Bailey's ridiculous.
Bailey, Romello Height. They are incredible at rushing the passer. Bailey had a sack in this game. Romello Height had half a sack in this game. I mean, look, Texas Tech's defense is going to give them an opportunity.
Here's where they are.
Their offense is pretty meh. To me, I think they got talent. Like Virgil, I like him as a receiver. And I think Baron Morton, he's a decent quarterback. I don't feel like he's great, though.
Their one loss, he didn't play.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Here's where Tech ranks nationally. Total defense, Ohio State, James Madison, Toledo, Oregon, Texas Tech. That's just total defense.
Yeah.
Now, as far as scoring defense is concerned, this is where they're real high up there because it's – Ohio State 1, Indiana 2. This is the all-important one. Texas Tech 3. So, for some reason, Toledo and San Diego State 4-5. There's Miami at number 6. But 8.2 points a game Ohio State gives up. Indiana 10.8. Texas Tech coming in. A paltry 10.9.
They're
studs, man.
They're super talented. They get after the quarterback. It's going to be really fun to watch them when they start.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break.
It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Playing when they play in the playoff against these really good offenses there, I think it looks like they'll probably get the matchup against Oregon, I think, is based off of what it looks like on the bracket. That's going to be a great matchup. Dante Moore, that pass rush going there. I mean, you're talking about a great matchup if that's what it ends up being there. Because David Bailey, Romello Height, getting after Dante Moore there. I got to give him some credit. He's looked a lot better here the last couple weeks.
It would be JMU, Oregon winner against Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Alabama OU against Indiana. That's a good defensive
game. We'll go through. Yeah, so here's the
good matchups.
Here's the overall field for the playoffs. You've got Indiana at 1, Ohio State at 2, Georgia 3, Texas Tech at 4. So those four teams are going to get byes in the first round. They're not going to play next weekend when the games start. Then, as for the teams that will be playing next weekend, starting the Friday the 19th, and then the rest of the games will be played on the 20th, you have Oregon at 5. You have Ole Miss at 6. Texas A&M at 7.
Which is funny because they're getting that home game. People were worried about they would lose that home game when Lady Kevin left.
They're still getting it. And then, A&M at 7, Oklahoma at 8, Alabama at 9, Miami at 10, Tulane at 11, and James Madison at 12. So here are the matchups for next weekend. Friday's matchup is the 8-9 matchup where Alabama will make the trip up to Norman, Oklahoma to face off against the Sooners.
It'll be a fun game.
Fun game. They played earlier this year. I think Bama won that game.
No, OU won.
Yeah, you're right. And then the funny part is they played in Norman last year.
Yeah, they lost and to Tuscaloosa Bama this
won.
Year.
Yeah, they both have traded wins. Yeah. They traded wins because Bama won last year in Norman, and then, OU won in Tuscaloosa this year. So that's a good matchup there. Saturday, you've got three matchups starting at 11 a.m. It's going to be Miami making the trip to College Station to face off against the Texas A&M Aggies.
I think that's the highlight
of
the weekend.
I agree. I think that's the best matchup for sure. And then after that, you're going to have the two group of five teams facing off against Power 4 teams in the playoff.
Ole Miss hammered Tulane when they played them earlier this year.
Yeah, they did. So that's probably not going to be that competitive. Tulane,
but the turnaround game is usually different. We've seen some weird stuff, just like Bama going into Athens and winning, and then Georgia playing them. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Tulane, Ole Miss at 2:30 on Saturday the 20th, and then James Madison at Oregon that night at 6:30. So, first round, not the greatest of matchups. Two of those are good. Two of them are probably going to be ass whoopings, but still. Interesting slate here. I'll say this. If one of those two G5 teams is competitive in their game, I think that justifies putting them in.
No, it is funny that two of the teams don't have their coaches. They're
right.
Still
both
them.
Of those teams.
They're still there, but they're leaving.
They're still there, but they're leaving.
But it's weird, though, when you think of coaches getting to the playoffs and then leaving in Tulane and James Madison. And how about James Madison? I know that people are talking about lack of great wins. Kurt Cignetti built that team up, obviously, before he went to Indiana. Chesney took over running with it. He's going to UCLA next year. But how damn good is that team? Cignetti took a bunch of that talent from JMU to Indiana with him. They're just stockpiling, man, for a team that was on the FCS level then to the FBS.
The funniest part about this is that Tulane's head coach, John Sumrall, is going to coach the Gators next year. James Madison next year is going to have Billy Napier, the former Florida Gators head coach, who just got fired back at the end of October. Yeah. So, funny little connection there between those two.
Because Chesney's leaving to UCLA.
Yep. So, let's get to our moneymakers here. Guys who made money for themselves this past weekend. My first moneymaker is Ohio State edge rusher Kenyatta Jackson. He had a sack in the game. He's got 6.5 on the season now. I think he's definitely setting himself up for somewhere third to fourth round, I think, as an edge rusher, rotational guy. He definitely looks like someone that has a place in the league.
But you've been
on a roster
somewhere. Out there and Curry and stuff. I mean, there's only so many guys you can block. And that defensive line is legit.
He's a bigger edge rusher. He's like 6'6", 265. If he can develop technique with that kind of size profile, that's someone you can look at as being a contributor at the NFL level. Again, I don't know if he's a star, but I definitely think he has potential to be a pretty good defensive end in the league. So my first moneymaker is Kenyatta Jackson. Who's yours?
I went David Bailey, a defensive end at Texas Tech. He had 5 tackles in this game, which is, you know, kind of a lot for guys sitting on the perimeter there. 1.5 sacks. I mean, the dude was all over the place. He's a special player, man. And David Bailey definitely makes a difference when he's not on that football field for Texas Tech.
He might be the number one pick in this draft. There's going to be,
he's unbelievable.
There's going to be a lot of discussion about that number one overall pick. I think he's in the running. I think Reuben Bain Jr. is in the running. I think Arvell Reese is in the running.
Reese is definitely in the
running. Keldrick Falk is in the running. There's a lot of guys that are going to be talked about for that number one overall pick. He's definitely one of them, though. So, the more performances he can put together like that, especially when we get to the playoff, the more money I think he's making.
Unless the team is starving for a quarterback, and we'll see who ends up with the number one pick in the clock. Because obviously Tennessee, if they end up there, they don't need a quarterback because they just took one. Who's got the first pick right now? I think the first pick is the Giants at this point. Giants, Vegas, then Tennessee. They're all 3 tied at 2, so the tiebreaker going in. Giants don't need a quarterback. Vegas does. Tennessee does not. But it doesn't matter. Could a team like New Orleans at number 5, even though with Tyler Shuck, say, you know what, we need a quarterback, we'll move down. The Jets are sitting there at 7. They definitely need a quarterback. Can someone trade down? That's the one thing about quarterbacks. Will they be taken, you know, early? Will some team...
This is the thing I think we have to take into account. This quarterback class is not very highly thought of. So I don't think there's going to be a big run on quarterbacks. Maybe 2.
Might not be this year, unless you're totally in love with Mendoza and this is the guy and you want to make sure.
I mean, I think somebody will fall in love with Mendoza, and I think somebody will settle for Ty Simpson.
You might not have to trade to 5. You may have to just trade to 3.
I don't even know if you need to trade up that
far.
Maybe
not.
I think if you're sitting there at 5, you should just stand pat. Because I don't think Mendoza is someone that is good enough to trade up for.
But there's enough impact players low. The Raiders would be the only ones that really consider.
Like if I were GM, I would not trade. I wouldn't take any quarterback.
But the Raiders got to find a quarterback. So they do need a quarterback this year.
I think I would much rather go the let's get a stopgap and let's wait for 27. Because I don't think this quarterback class is good enough to where you have to take one top 10.
Yeah.
I don't think any of these quarterbacks are worthy of a top 10 pick this year. The only one I think you could sell me on is Dante Moore, but I think Dante Moore should go back for another year because I think he could be a number one overall pick
if he
got more time out there. So, yeah, I mean, certainly an option for a lot of these teams, but I think right now edge rusher seems to be the favorite for number one overall. My second moneymaker is Jeremy Bernard, wide receiver for Alabama. Like I said, he's become the number one receiver there for the Tide. And
been their true weapon.
Yeah, he's been there. He's been their weapon. He's really good after the catch. Been very consistent throughout the year, putting up, you know, similar numbers to last year, but he's definitely improved upon his game. I liked him last year, but I think he's definitely made some strides this year. I definitely think this is a mid-round receiver who could have some good upside and be a – I think he could be a DeMarcus Robinson type at the very least, where he kind of goes around, plays on different rosters, plays well, But maybe he can get to a point where he is a starter and he is a good producer for a team somewhere.
Because in that game, he had to step up, too, because you're thinking about.
He's had to step up the entire year because Ryan Williams, his production has been down drastically this year. I mean, he's got 200 less receiving yards right now than he had last year. So, and unless he just goes out and balls out during the playoffs.
Quavis didn't play, did he? I don't think Josh Quavis are tied in.
I don't think so.
Because he has 341 yards receiving this year.
Right.
I don't think he played.
Yeah. So, who's your second money maker?
I went to Zachariah Branch. I just feel like he's making money every time he's on there. He's a true weapon for Georgia. Again, they spread the ball out. Even like Lawson Lucky getting catches at tight end and Oscar Delp sitting there. It's going to be draftable. But Zachariah Branch, 5 catches, 53 yards, but a touchdown. And then he showcased his speed a little bit on a punt return he had for 24 yards. But Zachariah Branch, when you look at, okay, who's you see George is playing, who's their weapons? You can see Zachariah Branch. He just stands out amongst players on how fast he is in the routes.
So we've got some names that we've talked about for the draft that are either expected to or confirmed to enter the transfer portal. Jackson Arnold, the quarterback for Auburn, expected to enter the transfer portal. That'll be his second straight year transferring because he was at OU last year. Transferred to Auburn. Going to transfer out is what it looks like. So, again, that's a 27 quarterback that we could be looking at. Maybe he goes somewhere, puts up some big numbers, and then now we're adding to that 27 class. Kansas State running back Dylan Edwards already confirmed for the portal. He announced that back in October.
Yeah.
So that or actually I think it was early November. He announced he was entering the portal.
He made the way for Joe Jackson.
Yep, he did. And then Texas running back C.J. Baxter, a guy that you did hear some hype about for this year, he's going to enter the portal as well. So that means that 27 running back class looks like it's going to get better because he was eligible this year, but him opting to enter the portal means that unless he gets some crazy valuation, which I don't think he will because he wasn't the top back in Texas. It was Quintrevion Wisner that was the top back for the Longhorns. That means that Baxter has an opportunity to go out there and earn some value next year going into the 27 draft. And then a possible transfer is going to be Arizona State quarterback Sam Leavitt, a guy that we talked about earlier in the year as a potential dark horse for the first round. Very inconsistent this year, and Arizona State's season just kind of fell apart. And so it's expected that he's probably going to transfer.
Be his third school, Michigan State, Arizona State. Then transfer. I guess they had their football banquet, right? And he was the team captain. He missed the banquet.
He did. He missed that banquet.
And I think Dillingham said, his coach said, we wish him the best of luck. Something like that. Sam Leavitt's either going to the draft or transferring, and I assume it's transferring.
I assume it's transferring because that's kind of been rumored for like the last month or so.
Unless he gets his agent advice, says, nah, you should go quarterback.
If his agent tells him he should go into the draft, his agent should be fired.
But Sam Leavitt's a very good dual threat quarterback, can run the ball a bit
and
pass. But
he is. He needs more fun.
Speaking of Lane Kiffin, I've heard that link as well. So
that would make sense. I mean, I don't think Garrett Nussmeier is going to be there next year. So.
No.
So we do have some confirmed Senior Bowl invites, guys who accepted their invites, and these are some very notable names, starting off with Mizzou edge rusher Zion Young. This is a guy I'm going to really, really look out for here. I've thought he could be a late first-round edge rusher in this class. A lot of people think he's about second round right now, maybe third round. I really like him as a potential late first-round edge rusher, and he's got good size to him. He's like 6'5", 260.
And we'll see about the bowl game, but I bet he doesn't play.
I bet he doesn't play either. We'll see, though.
And Jim Nagy's not doing the Senior Bowl anymore because he moved on to Oklahoma.
No, because he's Oklahoma, yeah. Zion Young is confirmed for the Senior Bowl. Florida defensive tackle Caleb Banks, who only played in 3 games this year because of a foot injury, he's confirmed. He's going to be one of the most interesting guys at the Senior Bowl because a lot of people still have a first round grade on him, even though he was hurt for most of the year. So if he can really make himself some money, if he has a great Senior Bowl, and if he really shows out in the pre-draft process. So going to be big for him. Edge rusher for LSU, Jack Pyburn. He's someone to look out for. He's going to be at the Senior Bowl. That's a guy that I was interested in, but I hadn't quite seen him take that next step forward. He didn't do that this year, but still, I think he could be a contributor at the next level. Arkansas quarterback Talen Green, bigger bodied quarterback, strong arm.
I like Talen Green.
Never really put it together on the field, but he does have good measurables. So he's someone that I would expect for sure. You know, teams will definitely give a look at a quarterback. K-State safety VJ Payne, who started the year off pretty well. Season kind of went down the hill for the team overall, but he'll be there. Michael Trigg, the tight end for Baylor.
Definitely somebody to watch.
Yeah, he was very productive. A guy that, you know, when they played Auburn in week one, that was a guy I pointed out, hey, check out this guy. He's made himself some money with how he played.
He wouldn't have played in the bowl game anyway, but they declined the bowl invitation as well.
Yeah, no, yeah. Trigg is someone to look out for. His teammate, quarterback Sawyer Robertson, he is also going to be playing in the Senior Bowl. This will be a big opportunity for him because even though he's been very productive, not a lot of hype for him. Oregon safety Dylan Thienemann. This is a guy who can definitely make himself some money at the Senior Bowl because I think he's been decent in coverage, but I think he's probably more so better as almost like another linebacker out there. So if he can show his coverage skills when they do those like one-on-ones with tight ends and running backs and whatnot, he'll have an opportunity to help himself. San Diego State corner Chris Johnson, who I think could be him or Mansoor Delane, could be the best man cover guy in this class.
He's a good
class.
One. Big reason is top five defense, man.
Yep.
San Diego State's right there. You don't think of great defense at San Diego State. Well, big reason is Chris Johnson.
Yeah, Chris Johnson. To me, he would be an excellent choice for the Chiefs in round two. And I definitely think watch him at Senior Bowl practice. In those one-on-one drills with those receivers, with his size, his length, he's going to be someone that I'm going to be paying heavy attention to during Senior Bowl practice week. Florida interior offensive lineman Jake Slaughter. This is a guy who I think could be a starter at, you know, either guard or center. He was a center at Florida, but I think he could play guard too. And he's a good leader, you know, been the leader of their offensive line for years. Definitely someone to look out for. And then Michigan defensive tackle Rashawn Benny is another confirmed invitee for the Senior Bowl. So those are the notable names right now. There's other guys, but you know, a lot of those guys aren't quite as notable. But
the Shrine Game is getting some buzz too with players too.
You said what?
The Shrine Game.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't seen
become a lot more talent coming out of there.
I haven't seen the Shrine Bowl list yet, but next week, once we get some more names confirmed, we'll make sure to inform you guys of who is going to be playing in these games. And hopefully we get some more star power here, especially on the defensive side with the edge rushers, with the corners. Want to see a lot more of those guys. We do have one game on the watch list. I don't even know if either of these two players are going to play. Boise State and Washington are going to play this Saturday.
I would guess no, because Joe Coleman's been limited anyway.
I would guess no, but maybe. We'll see. Jonah Coleman, Denzel Boston, playing for Washington against Boise State this Saturday in the bucked-up L.A. Bowl.
The Gronk Bowl, didn't it?
I don't know what it is. These bowl names are terrible.
I think Gronk may be. Is he still part of this? Can't remember if he is or not.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to the names of the games except for the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Because Pop-Tarts did a great job with that. So, but that's if those two play or if either of those two play, watch it. I agree with you. I would bet that Jonah Coleman does not play in this game.
He had 9 carries in the last game.
Yeah,
he played.
He saw his usage go down this year because of injuries and whatnot. But I would say this: next year the starting running back for Washington is going to be Adam Muhammad. Watch him because he's going to be a really awesome running back in 27. So definitely check him out for sure. And also Washington had a top 15 class this year in recruiting. They got a top 15 class for recruiting. So
yeah, Muhammad ended up 517 yards.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher's out here doing his thing in Washington right now. So That's the watch list. One game. We'll have a better watch list for you next week because the college football playoff games are going to be starting up. So please download, subscribe, tell your friends about us. I mean, clearly right now the Chiefs aren't really doing a whole lot of good out there. So
got a couple more draft tweets this week.
Yep. Yep, we did. Got some mock drafts.
And you sent out the feeler.
I did.
You sent out the feeler.
I did after the game. I had it ready to go before the game was done. It was before, right before the game was over. It's like 2 minutes left. I was like, oh, let me send this bad boy out right now. So, yeah, we appreciate your guys' continued support. And we are going to be doing our best to give you the best coverage
of
the NFL draft. It's come a little bit earlier than we expected. But you know what? We're here for the ride. There's a lot of great players that they should be looking at. When the Chiefs are officially eliminated, we will get you the autopsy of the 2025 season, break down which positions the Chiefs need to draft, which positions they need to hit on. We've kind of talked about them a little bit in the last couple of shows or whatever. And we'll break down how the Chiefs can fix this run.
Keep in mind,
26.
A top 15 pick, which is what they're aiming for at this point. That's a contributor. That's someone that you expect to contribute next season.
Yeah, that's someone you expect to come in and play immediately and potentially give you some really good snaps from the very get-go. So it sucks that they're probably not going to be in the playoffs, but it's also exciting because now you can start the rebuild. You can build this team up for another future dynasty down the line. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero. This has been the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 and start learning today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.